Kids can head upstairs, K through fifth. The rest of you can take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark. We're going to be in Mark chapter 4, and we are going to continue working through our series here, looking at the gospel of Jesus according to Mark. And we're going to be digging into a chunk that is going to take us 4 weeks. This week we're going to start with an introduction, and we're going to cover verses 1 through 25 in Mark chapter 4, and just really see it as an overview and then dive into some specifics here. If you recall, we started in chapter 1 of the book of Mark, and we've learned some things over the journey here in the first three chapters. We've learned that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We learned that He has that He came to preach the gospel and to reveal some amazing things about Him and about the future of this world. We saw in 16 through 20 of chapter 1 that He has come, and that He is He's come in the flesh and dwelt among people. We have learned in chapter 1 that He made Himself known, and He validated Himself in 35 through 45. We saw Him heal people, and so He is a healer. We saw Him throw a big party for Levi, or Levi did at least, for Christ in 13 through 17 of chapter 2. We see that Jesus is questioned and stands for why He came and what He's here for. We've noticed that He's a popular person, and that He has come to form this group of people to do something extraordinary in the world. And so that's kind of a quick overview. I got online this morning, actually, on our website, found the different titles of our sermons and just wrote those down. And those sermons are available at our website, which you can find in our bulletin, and maybe just to even review in a little more in depth. And so now we come to chapter 4, and I want to draw your attention to this and give a quick little overview or try to get us into this location of Christ and where He's at, and then we're going to read through the entire passage and then break out some pieces and parts here. So let's begin by looking at chapter 1, or chapter 4, verse 1, and it says this: "Again, He began to teach." Now, that's a significant phrase for me, because we know that He is a teacher and He has communicated prior to this. But again, He finds Himself with a group of people, and He's going to begin to teach these people. "And He began to teach beside the sea." It's the Sea of Galilee. And he's beginning to communicate with these people here by the sea. I'm envisioning it as maybe Him and His disciples went to this location, and or we're going to have a conversation and begin to talk. And the reason I say that, because our next phrase then says this: "And a very large crowd gathered about Him." And so I can imagine that it started with the few, and then suddenly there's a larger group of people that begin to make their way to Christ. He was a very interesting man, a very valuable man to people. Came into this area and wiped out sickness and really sinfulness, and has really taken care of a lot of things. And so these people want to have connections with Christ, is what is being revealed here in our passage. And so as this larger crowd came and began to gather around Him, it says that He got into a boat and He sat in it on the sea. Now, I preached a month ago, and we looked at 3:7. And if you just draw your eyes to 3:7 there, it says, "Jesus withdrew with His disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed after Him from Galilee to Judea." Now, this is significant that He is at the sea and at the edge of the sea, because as He went to the sea, and I shared this when I preached this message, it gave Jesus an out. It gave Him a place that He could actually go if the crowds got too large or too many. And so for Jesus, He knew that this was a good location. The other reason it was a good location is because of area that was around him. It was down into the mountains a little bit. And in some of my reading, again, how people know this, and you know, I don't think anybody's still living that was there at the time. But how people know this, they say that he could probably spoke to 1,000 to 2,000 people from the edge of the sea, and every person could have heard him, based on the acoustics and the location that that was at. But it also gave Jesus that out that we see here. And that out was the ability for him to get into a boat. Now, only so many are going to fit into this boat, and only so many are going to be able to come into the depths of the water. And so, Jesus put himself in a perfect position to be able to communicate and to teach all of these people. And so, as he sat in this boat on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. Very significant. Jesus in the water, the people on the sea, and he's communicating. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, and we jump into verse 3. What I want to do, and why I think this is significant for us to take and look at the whole overview here this morning, before we embark on the depths of what is found in this section of Scripture, is because we need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is the master teacher. Okay? We need to be reminded of that. And he brings so much value in the things that he communicates and how he communicates. And to see the number of people that are coming and longing to be related and connected with him in some way. And so I think it's just so significant for us to see that his role and in his position of teaching and how significant that is. And so as we're in this classroom with Jesus, that's how I want us to view it. We're in this classroom. He is the master teacher that's sitting in the boat, and you are all watching him begin to teach and instruct. And the first thing a teacher says when you come to class is what? Listen. And look what Jesus says in verse 3. Jesus said immediately, listen, emphatically, listen. And he then adds another word to it, and he says, listen, behold. And what I love about this picture, and as I'm putting myself in this classroom with Jesus as my instructor in front of me, I'm hearing this instructor say, listen and look. Listen and look. And he begins to unfold this story in a parable form, which we'll get into in a little bit in an explanation. But he begins to tell the story of a sower who went out to sow. That's at the end of verse 3. And as the sower sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And then the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Now, I'm reading this. Some of you are very familiar maybe with this parable. I need you to put yourself in the position of the audience as they are listening to Jesus share these words. And I want you to put yourself in the position of, maybe you're sitting there going, what in the world is this guy talking about? Okay? Because we're talking about a sower, and we're talking about seed, and we're talking about how it has fallen this path, and how these different, what in the world could he even be communicating? And the sun rose, and it grew, and it got scorched, and it didn't have a root, so it withered away. But then he goes on, continuing here in verse 7, he says, other seed fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I would kind of want some explanation as Jesus is communicating this, if I'm that person that's sitting there in that crowd. And in fact, we come into verse 10, and the disciples were longing for that explanation. Look what it says in verse 10 with me. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. So immediately in your brain and in your mind, you should be thinking that what was just communicated of that parable of that sower and the seed and all of those things, all the stuff that was just given has to have something to do with the kingdom of God. At least in my studies, that's where my mind went. And I would assume the disciples as well. But he says, for those outside, everything is in parables. And what he's talking about, and I'll get into this in 2 weeks and explaining this a little bit more, but those that are outside, remember the first group of people that came up and began to listen to Jesus. Envision that or think of that as the true disciples. Think of it as the 12. They're coming up and they want to listen. Then there's some other people that are coming and they want to know more about Jesus and are intrigued and will probably eventually be followers of Christ as well. But then there is a group of people that aren't so cool, that are just looking to maybe undermine Christ's teaching. Those are those people that are on the outside. Those are those people that will never really understand the secret of the kingdom that he's talking about in 11. In fact, Mark uses a passage from the book of Isaiah. And he says this from Isaiah, they may indeed see, but not perceive. They're going to have this vision of what he's teaching and talking about, but they really don't understand it. They may indeed hear, but not understand. It's connected, it's hitting the eardrums, but there is nothing that is coming to an understanding, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And so really there are two different types of people that we're going to see in this passage of Scripture. And these two different types of people are ones that are going to understand what Jesus is talking about, and they're going to be these ones that have no clue and no idea. Next week, we're going to dive into verses 3 through 9. And also then, we're going to dive into 13 through 20 next week to unfold this parable for you. Because the parable, it gives an explanation. Jesus gives an explanation of this parable in verse 13 that says this. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all of the parables? The sower sows the word. And there are ones along the path, and those are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And there are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And then there's others that are sown among thorns. And those who hear the word, But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke out the word. And it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Now, how many of you guys, as you're listening to this, are interested to know more or want to understand more about that parable? Or is there anybody sitting here in the room today? So show me your hand. If you're interested in knowing more, okay, so next Sunday, come back. The rest of you don't have to, because we'll unfold that. But I think a lot of times in this passage of Scripture, we come to this and we want to know more. We want to know, what in the world is he teaching? And I was there. The Bible guys were there on Tuesday as we began to interact with this passage of Scripture. We wanted to jump right to trying to figure out what all of these mean and have a better understanding of this parable. But I think it's important for us to stop and to look and to say, wait a minute. We need to look at the man who's teaching this. We need to look at the man who's proclaiming this information, because the man that's proclaiming this information has an eternal power, a supernatural power that is like no other teacher in the world. And I think sometimes we take for granted the teaching. And I think it was his disciples that he was drawing in, that he wanted them to understand this, because we see in verses 21 through 25, which will be the last week of this section, we see that that he talks about a lamp. Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not a... For nothing is hidden except to be manifest, for anything secret except to come to light. What in the world, Jesus, are you talking about? I don't even grasp or understand what you're communicating, right? He goes on in 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. Because with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. More to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This morning, you should walk out of here going, Pastor Phil, you read a lot of information, and I don't really get or understand what you're talking about. And that's okay, because this morning, what I hope that you walk away with is understanding that Jesus is teaching. And that the teachings of Jesus is powerful. And the teachings of Jesus can change the world. And that we don't necessarily need to understand or figure out things immediately as we tool through the different passages of Scripture that we look at. The emphasis is on Jesus' teaching today because He was in a good location, He had a good audience, and the information that He was going to share was really good and was really challenging. And He longed for those people that were listening to this message, these messages. He was longing for those people to grasp that He brings value to their lives beyond the miracles. He brings value to people's lives beyond the experiences that we have with Him. He brings value to people's lives when we rest and know and accept the things that Jesus teaches, the things that Jesus communicates beyond just this passage in 4, but even beyond that in all of Scripture. And that we are a people that should rely on Christ in this journey. Let's dig in and understand maybe some more specifics of what He taught. The emphasis of the message today is teaching. The emphasis is on what He taught. And really the first part here is the what. And according to our passage in verse 2, we see that Jesus taught many things. Now, I'm gonna narrow it down to this passage of Scripture, but we know that Jesus taught many things beyond Mark chapter 4. We've seen it already before in Mark. We're gonna see it as we continue to work through the book of Mark. But we know that there are many things that Jesus is teaching. The first thing that we see that Jesus is teaching, and this is next week's message, is really the value of good soil. We saw the different types of soil mentioned throughout that first section there of 1 through 9 and then 13 through 20. We also saw in the many things that he teaches about the proper use of light. He talks about that in verses 21 through 25. And then in a few weeks after we're done working through this section, Billy's going to share with us and he's going to unfold for us this idea of the growing cycle of a plant as we see in verses 26 through 34 in that section that he is going to share with us. And as he's teaching this in this classroom, there's value in these stories that he's teaching, and I would encourage you this week to be diving into this section in chapter 4 and reading it over and over and over, not trying to figure it out, but maybe just grasping some of the phrases that Jesus uses and maybe some of the words that are used over and over. Like, for example, teach or teaching is used over and over in this section. The word hear or hearing is a word that's used over and over in this section. The word fruitful or yield or even unfruitful is a main theme that flows throughout this section of Scripture. And all in one, all encompasses this idea of Jesus communicating this truth to people, teaching this truth for a specific reason, and we'll unfold that in the weeks to come. So we have the what. He's teaching the many things. That's the what of the series that we're going to work through here, the small series in January. Now let's look at the how. How did Jesus teach? And if you draw your attention back to verse 2, it says, and he was teaching them many things, and how he was teaching them in parables. He was specifically teaching them in parables. Now, the dictionary, the Bible dictionary gives us a definition in this way. A parable is literally something cast alongside. Cast alongside something else. Jesus' parables were stories that were cast alongside a truth in order to illustrate that truth. Okay? So it's something that's true that was cast alongside of something that Jesus was trying to illustrate that was also true. His parables were teaching aids that can be thought of as extended analogies or inspired comparisons. A common description of a parable is that it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Maybe you've heard that before, and that's a common definition that I've heard before, that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay? And so we have to understand that parables are understood on two levels. Okay? Remember the group of people, the smaller group of people that first came to Jesus and with Jesus? Those guys are going to probably understand parables in a way, more of a heavenly understanding. But you're going to have the other group of people that are maybe coming for selfish reasons, their own desires. Those people are going to hear it for earthly purposes. Okay? Earthly purposes. Let me explain it this way or give you an example of this way. Does anybody know what a person would be called that studies soil? What do you think? What is it? What is it?
Agronomist.
Okay, see, I didn't find that one, but there's a bonus material. Podologist is what I found. Is somebody that studies soil. Okay? And so these people that are understanding it from an earthly perspective are immediately going, well, this person studies soil. This is the type of person that is. That's how I'm understanding what Jesus is teaching here. He talks about the light. Remember, he talked about good soil. He talked about light and the value of light. He was an illumination expert, okay? Jesus was an illumination expert. How to use a light? Because I couldn't find anything, a cool name that was attached to a person that studied the light. But he understood how a light was to be used, as we saw in 21 through 25. Another earthly understanding that these people, again, that second layer of people, those people on the outside that understood maybe just from the earthly perspective, he was a botanist. He understood in studying the plant life and how a plant grows, and we'll see that with a mustard seed, and we'll see that in what I think is corn in verses 26 through 29. But these people that didn't have a heavenly connection with Christ were just going to understand things just on an earthly basis. And these were really good stories. These were stories that were real and true. Has anybody ever spread seed on just a solid ground that hasn't been tilled up? And you really don't have a whole lot that grows. And if it does grow, it usually doesn't last because the roots don't go in very deep. And so some people could be looking at this and saying, man, Jesus was really good at gardening. Man, Jesus was really good at all of these different things. But it was more than that. It wasn't just an earthly story, but these parables had a heavenly connection. And we have an insight of what that heavenly connection was in verse 11 of this chapter of Mark 4. And he said in verse 11, and he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Put yourself back on that shore. Think about Jesus as he's communicating and say, listen, behold. And then he says to his guys, he says, you guys, I am giving you information that nobody else has. I'm sharing with you something that is top-notch information that only very few know, and I want you guys to be in on this with me. In fact, I need you in on this with me. And he's got these two sides of these people. that some of these people are going to understand him for the value of a gardener, and the other people are going to value him as the Savior of the world that has information that will change the world. And that information will be passed along, and we're going to see that in the weeks to come. This information is going to be passed along to these disciples to go and then proclaim, and they are going to have a part in this kingdom of God. And those disciples are no longer here with us today. And that's the cool part for me, is that we're passing this information on to us because we have a responsibility to carry this information on to the rest of the world. See, as he taught in these parables, and we see these two sides, we have to know and remember, and we see it here in this text, in verse 12. We know that a parable, as he's speaking, it is very visible, very audible, and understandable. It's visible, it's audible, and it's understandable. The Isaiah passage that Mark refers back to and is shared with us in the Scripture this morning, look what it says again, verse 12. They indeed see, but not perceive. So it's visible, and it's visible on an earthly standpoint, and it's visible from a heavenly standpoint or a spiritual standpoint. It's visible, and this is a great story about gardening, in this parable specifically, and it's good for the spiritual side because this is a great story about the kingdom of God. Very visible, can see it. It's audible. It isn't something that Jesus is just pointing at. It isn't just pictures, but he is actually communicating verbally, but yet he is also showing. Listen, behold! And I can only imagine Jesus as he is there, and maybe over there on the mountainside, can you see this with me, where there might be a sower that's actually spreading seed. Like, that's what's in my mind as I look at this passage of Scripture. Listen, because I'm verbally going to communicate with you, but behold, look over there and see. And a parable is understandable from those two perspectives as well. That the parable is understandable that if I go and I plant seed in good ground, good things are going to happen. It's also understandable from this perspective of the spiritual or the heavenly, that these things that are being taught that we're going to unfold for you in the next few weeks, it's going to have an impact on the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom that we are striving to be a part of that God is doing in this world. The illustrations really aren't hard to understand. I mean, if you really took some time and began to unfold these illustrations, you would get it. You would get it in some level. But what Jesus is longing for is that people would get it on a spiritual level. That people would get Jesus' teaching in such a way that would not just impact their lives, but then would go and impact other people's lives. So we see that Jesus taught many things, verse 2. We see that Jesus taught in parables that were visible, that were understandable, and that were audible. And now we see that Jesus taught ultimately, and this is the why. We saw the what, we saw the how, and now we see the why. Jesus taught to set apart. Jesus taught to set apart. I wrestled with this because I think that Jesus is teaching to reveal. I think Jesus is teaching, like, you could change the word. I mean, you could, however you connect with this best, but I think he taught to reveal. I think Jesus taught to make known. But this is where I've landed, that Jesus really taught to set apart, because we've got these two different groups. Again, that first group that came up, you've got those people, and then you've got those people on the outside. And he was really, as he's communicating these parables, and as we unfold in the next few weeks, we're going to see this more, he communicated these parables because he wanted to distinguish between the two different groups of people. And really the different groups of people were the skeptics, okay? He wanted to set apart the skeptics from the serious. Because there were some people that were coming that were unsure of what Jesus was teaching, but ultimately they maybe wanted to undermine the things that he was communicating and maybe give Jesus a bad name. But then there are those serious ones, the people that, we're coming alongside of and really, really wanting to know more about Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. And I think of those as the disciples. I think of those as those first groups of people. He says in verse 9, and I've said this already, read this already, but if you draw your attention back to it, and I think it's a significant phrase that we're going to unfold throughout this series. He says in verse 9, and he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, unless you're deaf and have no ability to hear because of something that's going on inside of your head, the eardrum or whatever, those who have ears, how many of people have ears? For the most part, we all have ears, don't we? Those who have ears, let them hear. You're going to have people hear different things. The skeptics are more likely going to hear that Jesus is a good gardener or that Jesus is talking about a bunch of gibberish that has nothing to do with nothing. We already knew all of this information. And then you're going to have a group of people that are going to understand and know what Jesus is explaining and trying to help them to see. Skeptics and the serious. See, the difference between the two groups really comes down to what they're doing with the information. Are they undermining or are they elevating Jesus? Are they looking to destroy Him? There's really even another, there's two more here that I want to share with you. Selfish, and He wanted to set the selfish apart from the seekers. And the selfish are those people, and we saw this a ton in the first three chapters, really chapter 2 and chapter 3, but where the selfish, those people are coming and they wanted to touch Jesus. Why? Because they wanted to be healed. They didn't care what message Jesus was proclaiming. They just wanted what was best for them. But then there were also the seekers that, yes, wanted a healing, but just didn't want a healing for themselves, but saw the value and the impact of that healing. I think about the men bringing in the paralytic and ripping open, as Billy taught on, ripping open the ceiling and the roof and lowering them down. They were looking for a healing, but I don't think the motives were selfish. I think they saw the value in Jesus. They were true seekers of Jesus Christ. There's different people that are going to have a different understanding of the things that we're going to teach over the next few weeks. And it was true in our day and age today, and it was true of the people that were standing there to see with Jesus. See, the disciples heard, but they also listened. They accepted what Jesus had said in verse 3 of listen and behold. They heard and they listened, and then ultimately took action. They took an action. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word and not just hearers only." That was an application point for Jesus here. That he's trying to get to help the disciples to understand of the two different groups of people that were existing in this crowd. And if you were to look back in your passage in verse 10, and it says, "And when he was alone," when he was alone, so there was a disconnect that he began to teach his disciples in a very specific way, in a very private way, and maybe they were all on a boat, and they were farther away from the crowd, and maybe he just sat there in the boat and began to proclaim to them as everybody else was watching and wanting to be on that boat. Wouldn't you want to be on that? I wish I was a fly on that boat. I want to know what he's talking about. And he begins to teach and helps them to understand that there's a difference between these people. And he's drawing them out to say, you are the people that are the spiritual. You are the people that have the heavenly perspective. You are the people that are going to change the world when I'm no longer here. See, Jesus, in verse 3, I've said it already, I'll say it again because it's significant. He tells his audience in verse 3 to listen. He tells his disciples specifically in verse 24 to pay attention. Pay attention to what you hear. How many of you listen to music? Right? I was going to ask the question, how many of you listen to the radio? But some of you would say, no, I don't listen to the radio. We have different ways of listening to music now. Last night as I was in here working and finishing up the bulletin, I usually have Pandora playing in the background and the song that I had mentioned a few weeks ago about the gospel, the song called "The Gospel." I heard it here on my computer as I was preparing for that message. And there are some times that I'm listening, or there's sometimes when I'm sitting there at my desk and I'm working, I just hear music, right? Is there a difference between hearing the music and listening to the music? When I go to the weight room in our high school, I just hear the music, okay? I don't listen to the music. Because some of the things that are communicated on that radio or on that boombox are things that I don't want to listen to. I think it's important as we work through this over the next few weeks that we understand the difference between the hearing and the listening. I think it's important to understand that when I'm sitting at my desk and I'm hearing this sound and there will be a word that I will listen to in that song, that will do what? It will grab my attention. And I'll start to focus in, I'll start to pay attention, as he says in verse 24. I think about this when I go to the doctor. And the doctor says, you know, you probably ought to lose some weight. I hear him, but I'm not necessarily listening. You guys understand that? Does that happen to you in your marriages? Kids, does this happen to you? Your parents, blah, blah, blah. Wendy's sitting there and says something to Brooke last night. And I know Brooke heard her, but Brooke wasn't listening. And I looked at Brooke and I said, did you hear your mom? Huh? What? You know, it happens in our culture today that we are so busy and consumed with so many other things that there's a distraction. And I think about these two different groups of people that were here. The people that were on the outside, I think, were really longing for a healing or longing for something very selfish, or they were longing for something that could undermine Jesus. And those people were just hearing and doing whatever they wanted with the information. And it was the disciples that were hearing and listening, and Jesus reminded them that in verse 24 when he says, pay attention. And I think it's significant when we think about our own lives today and the journeys that we are on and how often we allow the busyness of our world and the busyness of our life that we may hear, but we're not really listening. How many of us come to church on Sundays and we hear what has been spoken, but we don't really listen? That, man, that was good, but what I heard was, right? But if you were to really listen to what was communicated, you would see that it wasn't a man that was standing in front of you, but you would see a God that is communicating and speaking through a man, through the power of his word. And over the next few weeks, it is my longing and desire for us as a church that we would not come just to hear, but that we would come and that we would want to listen to the teachings of Jesus. Because it's Jesus that is here to change the world and to change the lives of people. And if you look at our world today, Jesus needs to be more involved in our world. And the only way that Jesus is going to be more involved in the world is by His people, the church, being listeners of His Word and then also doers of His Word. He will challenge that in the weeks to come in this section of Scripture. So do you hear Jesus today? Do you hear and listen to Jesus? And do you understand the significance of the difference between the two? Because, folks, here's the good news. And as we expound on this section of Scripture, and I could have done, I think, a little bit better to get you to this point, but we're going to see this in the weeks to come. The good news in all of this, and we need to add a word to this, or at least a thought, the good news in all of this is that hearing what Jesus teaches provides the ability to bear fruit or to be His disciples or to be those people that are on this side, that are in the heavenly, in the spiritual realm and driven for His honor and for His glory. Now, Should it be listening to what Jesus teaches? Is hearing enough to be put there? Maybe you need to add another word. Maybe you need to put hearing with sincerity. Maybe that is a way for you to justify and clean up. That if I hear with sincerity, then I will be that bearer of fruit. Maybe it's hearing and listening that you would add to that. Maybe it's hearing and doing or taking action, being responsible with the things that Jesus has proclaimed. Because this is the kind of hearing that Jesus is looking for. This was the kind of hearing that Jesus was looking for from these men as He was communicating this truth by the sea to the disciples. That they would hear and that they would do and that they would bear fruit for all the world. In fact, it says it here in verse 20, but those who were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. It is significant for us to have our ears open, but not just for the sake of being hearers, but also for the sake of being doers. Followers of Jesus, according to this passage, according to two key phrases that are made, followers of Jesus first listen, verse 3, and followers of Jesus pay attention. And that is my challenge for you this week in your studies. This is my challenge for you in the next 3 weeks, really in the next year at First Baptist Church, that we would go beyond just the people that show up on a Sunday to hear. But we would come and we would be these people that are listening and paying attention for the sake of the kingdom of God and for His glory. Let us pray together.